Would you turn with me now in the scriptures to Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 20. Luke chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which are told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And the Lord will bless the reading of his holy word. Well, tonight we're going to look at this passage of scripture with the Lord's help. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, dear friends, this was a night that changed lives and history forever. The miracle of the incarnation, where God the Son became a little babe in his mother's womb, had happened 9 months earlier in the town of Nazareth. The Bible uses this word, that holy thing, in Matthew chapter 1. In other words, there is no word in any language to describe fully, to grasp the fullness of what happened in Mary's womb. God had become man. We've heard that so often. Even the world sings about these things. They call them Christmas carols. We call them hymns. Lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh to Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. These are hymns that people know. These are, they call them carols, but they're hymns, really. They're in the, and yet they don't understand the meaning of it. And they certainly don't understand the application of it. There are very few people who were eyewitnesses to this marvelous event. The angels beheld it in glory. And Mary and Joseph beheld it in Bethlehem. But there was just one other group. A group of lowly, insignificant shepherds who were also eyewitnesses of the arrival of the Son of God in the flesh into this world. I want us to think tonight, as I was pondering this, to imagine that these men who saw this event, who saw Christ with their own eyes, are sitting down maybe a few years later and they're speaking to their grandchildren. And they're going to share with their grandchildren, and I trust this will help us, what happened, what they saw, what they heard, what they experienced on that night. It was a night that changed them. They would never be the same again. We have their record. It's recorded for us in Luke's gospel. Where did Luke get this message, this information from? We know that Mary and Joseph were aware and they had these visitors just coming out of the blue. But the events that the shepherds share with us could only have been shared by their own eyewitness account. And Luke is recording for us perhaps their own very reports. Luke, we believe, was written. He was a contemporary of the Apostle Paul. He served the Lord, Jesus Christ. Some people say he was still alive in the late 90s AD. But I believe Luke would have sat down very meticulously, a brilliant historian, as well as an excellent doctor of his day, and he would have meticulously recorded what these men would have shared. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at it from, and I called it, the eyewitness account of the Saviour's birth. We're just going to focus on the shepherds. And I've got four things I want us to consider. Now, I do want you to realise that we're going to look at it from the we, okay? So we're trying to imagine that they're sitting there and perhaps you can imagine that they're sharing with you. And the first thing we're going to look at is this. We saw a holy angel. Now notice this. In verse 8, they were in the same country. Shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. What are the shepherds doing? They're doing exactly what shepherds do. They're caring for their sheep. Who are these shepherds? Well, first of all, they're working shepherds. They're working hard. They're doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing. We don't know their age. We don't know certain things about these shepherds. We don't know the names. We don't know their ages, really, though we could hazard a guess. They're working shepherds, so what age might they be? Well, some people have this idea that they're old men. Maybe they're feeling their age. And they're out in the field. And in those times, they would have gathered all the sheep from various flocks, and they would have gathered them together at night and put them in probably something like a fenced area to protect their sheep. But I want you to notice from Scripture what the Bible teaches about shepherds. Did you ever notice that most of the shepherds in the Bible are young people? David was a young man when he was caring for his father's sheep. His brothers, who were older, went off to war. David's left minding the sheep. Saul, the first king of Israel, he too was looking after sheep. Joseph, it seems, was earlier on in Genesis, was a shepherd. Rachel, the wife of Jacob, was a shepherdess. It seems that the job of the shepherds was left to the youngest in the family. So where are a few young men are amongst the group? There's no women, by the way, in this group. They're all men. Young men. You might not think 14 years of age is a young man, but in those days it was. But they're working. They're just minding their sheep. Or as the Bible says, they're abiding in the field. They spent most of their time with the sheep in the field. They're not just casual workers. They're not even casual shepherds. Their whole role is to care for the sheep. They're doing something else. They're keeping watch. They're watching out for wild animals. But they're also watching out for wicked thieves. And they're watching over their flock in the middle of the night. They're working shepherds. They're watching shepherds. That's the second thing. They're tending their sheep. They're looking after their sheep. They're making sure their sheep are safe and secure. They're not asleep. They're not sleeping shepherds. They're not distracted. They're doing exactly what they should be doing. But the third thing I want to consider, and perhaps it's something fresh for some of you, they were special shepherds. These are not illiterate men. They may not have been able to speak Latin very freely, because that was the language, state language, but they would have certainly been able to speak Greek. And they also might have known some Hebrew. Most likely they went to synagogue and they were educated. Maybe not to the high position of Luke, but they were educated. They would have known the Old Testament. They probably may have memorized some of the prophecies that they have fulfilled here. These aren't ignorant men. Some people have this idea that they were uneducated, illiterate, and oh, isn't it wonderful that these poor men got the first message. That's not what the scriptures teach. Because these men understand what the angel's saying. The difference is this. They believe what they hear. So there's a few things about these shepherds. And then a holy angel enters the equation. And we've read this so often, it becomes almost like, well, that's fine. An angel appeared. But you need to remember, this was the first time these men would have ever seen an angel, and most likely the last. This night, one angel. Lo, that's a beautiful biblical word. Behold, see. This is the words that you would use if you were there. Do you understand what I'm saying to you when you're telling somebody a story or an adventure you had? You want them to get involved. The word lo there is to get us involved, to bring us in. Lo, the angel of the Lord that came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. How do we know he's an angel? Well, the Bible tells us he's an angel of the Lord. Where does he come from? He's come from glory. The word glory here is to do with shining. It's to do with brightness. He's a holy angel. Notice his words of comfort. Angels are sympathetic. He says in verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not. Of course they were terrified. They were riveted to the spot. They're probably quaking, probably shaking from head to foot. Terrified that an angel suddenly appeared from nowhere. Don't forget, all they've been doing is minding their sheep. And all of a sudden, there's an angel there. He says, fear not. It's interesting how many times angels appeared at certain key events. The angel visited Joseph and told Joseph that his espoused, you might think it's an engagement, but actually the Bible used the word very importantly, the espoused wife. Mary is betrothed to Joseph, and Joseph is betrothed to Mary. This is a very strong description of the fact that they are bound to each other and nothing else should separate them, even though they're not yet living together as husband and wife. She's espoused. An angel also, that was in Matthew 1:20, an angel also visited Mary to tell Mary that she was about to conceive. The holy seed, the holy one, the holy thing that will be conceived in thy womb. There were angels seen at the tomb of our Lord on the first day of his resurrection and his ascension. Matthew chapter 28 verses 1 to 2 is you have the angels sitting there at the entrance to the tomb. In Acts chapter 1 verse 10 you have the angels appearing at the ascension. And when he comes a second time, angels will be present too. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31. But notice the words of the angel. Fear not. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Don't be frightened any longer. And it seems that they began to be calmed down. Now the second thing, not only did they see a holy angel, we saw a holy angel. Secondly, we were told amazing news. Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That word tidings is an old word, but it simply means good news. This is great news. This is the greatest news you will ever hear. This message is the message from God. The gospel is described in the Old Testament as good tidings. It's good news. Gospel literally means good news. Glad tidings or good tidings of great joy. He's just told them not to be afraid. Now he's telling them he's got message of great joy, which shall be to all people. This isn't just for the Jews. This is for all people. You read the Old Testament, you read the prophecy of Isaiah, and you see that God's plan of salvation isn't just for the Jewish people. It's for all people. From every tribe and people and tongue and nation. What's the contents of this news? Look at verse 11. For unto you, that's plural, unto you is born this day, this very day. We believe it may very well be after midnight. This day, the new day has dawned. But in the Jewish ideas, in the Jewish mind, the day started in the evening. That's how the Jewish time was recorded. So born this day in the city of David. Now somebody says, where's the city of David? Well, everybody thinks it's Jerusalem. But that's not what the Bible tells us. The city of David is not Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city of God. Jerusalem was the holy city of God. Jerusalem was the place where the temple of God was built. Jerusalem was the place where God's ordained sacrifices were offered, but the city of David is where David was from. And if you read your Old Testament, you realize that David was not brought up in Jerusalem. The city of David was actually Bethlehem. And that's where Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 is so important. Do you remember the wise men came to visit Herod? And he had to ask his experts, where was this Messiah to be born? And they said, Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. But notice a couple of things. For unto you, to whom? Unto you. Unto you. The Holy Spirit uses this word, but deliberately. Unto you, believers of all time, of all generations, you who believe in the Savior, this is messages for you. In the city of David, a Savior. Notice the order of the words. Who's born? It doesn't say a baby. It says a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior speaks of deliverance, speaks of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. The angel told Joseph why he was to call this little babe that was now in his espoused wife's womb. Why was he to call him that? Because he was the Savior. He would save his people from their sins. Did you realize we need a Savior? Because we're all sinners. That doesn't fit well with the modern mind, but it's true. Every one of us have sinned. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we don't want a Savior, then we don't realize we are sinners. Only sinners realize they need a Savior. Even Mary in her famous prayer, she says, my soul doth glorify the Lord, my spirit rejoiceth in God, my Savior. But he's Christ the Lord. Here he is. A Savior, but he's also Christ. The word Christ means appointed, anointed. One who's been appointed from all eternity to be the Savior. This is amazing news. And how will you know which babe is the Messiah? How will you know which babe is the Savior? Because I believe there would have been other babies born in Bethlehem that night. Don't forget, Bethlehem is full. It's as if everybody has come out at the same time. They've come from here, there, and everywhere because the most powerful man in the world at the time, Caesar Augustus, had decided he was going to tax his people more. Some things never change. He brought them all back to wherever their family line was from, wherever their heritage had begun, and he insisted that they all came back to those places and they must register for taxation purposes. So I believe there was other babies born in Bethlehem that night. Bethlehem is full of people. The streets are thronged. And by the way, when Joseph returns to Bethlehem, he's going back to his home place and therefore his family, some of his family and his relatives would have lived there. But there's no room even in their house for Mary and Joseph. So how will the shepherds know? Well, they're going to have to find a very strange place for a baby to be born. They're going to have to find a place, not a house, not an inn, but possibly a cave. I know in our nativity scenes we all have stables. Most likely it was a cave. There are caves all around Bethlehem. This Messiah, this Savior, this Christ the Lord, he will be born in a place where animals live. But not only that, he'll be wrapped strangely as well. No blanket for the Lord Jesus. No duvet. No cot. He's been laid in a manger amongst the straw. but he's been wrapped in swaddling clothes. And it's interesting how the scriptures record this phrase twice. Look at chapter 2 and verse 7. She brought forth, that's Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And what does the angel's message say? What does he say to the shepherds? He says in verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." These are men who know what it is to look after animals. It must have been strange for them to not go to the king's palace in Jerusalem or go to the rich person's house in Bethlehem, but go to a place where animals live, are cared for, protected, and fed. Can't you see? One other thing, the swaddling clothes, is that significant? Well, we believe they did have blankets of some sort in those days. But to be wrapped in swaddling clothes is actually a picture of something else. At the end of the life, when people had passed, they were wrapped in swaddling clothes. Lazarus comes out of the tomb in John chapter 10 and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. So over Bethlehem's manger stands the shadow of the cross. We saw a holy angel. We were told amazing news. We heard a choir of angels. Verse 13. "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angel had gone away from them into heaven." Not only did one angel suddenly appear that night, but a whole choir of angels appeared in the sky that night. What I've often puzzled over, did anyone else see the choir of angels in the sky that night? Or was it just for these shepherds? Did God send these angels from heaven's glory to praise the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the shepherds were eyewitnesses to this? Notice the words of the heavenly choir, the heavenly host. They praised God. Of course they did. They've been created by Almighty God. They've been with God since their creation. They've been sent to and fro on various messages. But now, this night of all nights, they're sent to praise the arrival of the one who will be the Saviour of sinners. Notice the words, "Glory to God in the highest. God be exalted. God be praised. God be adored. And on earth peace." Not the peace of man. Not the peace from strife. Not the peace from trouble. But the peace of God. Goodwill toward men. We could look at that more like God's grace towards men. God's mercy towards men. Goodwill of God towards men. Including the shepherds. This hymn of praise is one that we too can echo. As believers, we could sing the praises of God. That's what we do every Lord's Day. Morning and evening and midweek. Glory to God in the highest. God is rightly exalted. He is in the right position above all. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. By the way, this only took a few seconds. Maybe a little longer, but very short time. The angel shared the message, and then he suddenly joined with this great choir. The fourth thing I want you to notice, because not only firstly did the shepherds, we saw holy angels. Secondly, we were told amazing news. Thirdly, we heard the choir of angels. Fourthly, we went to visit the Saviour. From then on, how did the shepherds respond? Look at verse 15. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." They didn't have very far to go. They're in the fields outside Bethlehem. They don't have to travel miles and miles like the wise men had to, over 1,000 miles. They travel a very short distance. Bethlehem very likely was a place they knew very well. And there they go. They don't even sit down and think, "Now, what do you think we should do? Let's have a committee meeting." The shepherds decide, "We'll have a committee meeting and we'll decide whether we go or not. We'll vote over it." Instantaneous obedience. They don't pause for a moment. They look at each other and they make a collective decision, and "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." And you might say, "What about the poor sheep?" God will look after the sheep. "And see this thing which has come to pass." We want to see it for ourselves. The angel has told us. The angels have praised God for it. Let's go and see it. By the way, this isn't they're doubting the message. They've taken it absolutely as it's given, but they are wanting to see it for themselves. They're so excited that they just leave their sheep. And they go off to Bethlehem, which is probably only half a mile maybe away, maybe less. And they come with great haste. Verse 16. They're in a hurry. They're rushing to get there. They're excited. It's not wrong to be excited about the Saviour's birth. And they found Mary and Joseph. There they are. Mary and Joseph. And somebody says, how did they find him? Was there some shining light above the place where Jesus was born? We don't read about that. Or when they walked in, did they see this lovely little holy halo that you see in all the pictures? Most unlikely. Because veiled in flesh the Godhead see. They behold the Saviour. They don't pick up the Saviour. They don't look into the eyes of the Saviour. It's enough just to see him there in the manger, just as the angel had told them. You see, when we think about it, the marvel of what happened at Bethlehem was that God had become man and was brought into the world. There's the creator of the universe lying in a manger. There's the one who upholds the stars and knows every name of them lying in a manger. There's the one who created all the animals that will be eaten from that manger lying in a manger. So what about us? Let's just take 4 little lessons. Because the shepherds went and they found just as it had been told. And when they had seen it, verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What about us? The shepherds received the news. Do we listen to the word of God? Do we believe the word of God? Do we trust the word of God? When we read the scriptures, are we excited about what we're reading? Secondly, the shepherds ran. They make haste. They don't delay. If we love the Lord, truly love the Lord, then we won't doubt to obey him. They went immediately. They were ready to do whatever the Lord had called them to do. Thirdly, the shepherds rejoiced. We've seen received, ran, they rejoiced. You read this, verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. They're rejoicing. They're glorifying and praising God. Are we excited? Do we glory in God? Oh, the world wants us to glory in everything else and anything else but Almighty God. And the same with false religion. False religion always wants us to glory in anything and everything but Almighty God. But our shepherds here tell us what we should do. Glorify God. Live for His glory. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Lastly, fourthly, the shepherds retold. They told everyone. They couldn't keep quiet. They told everyone what they had heard and also what they had seen. Verse 20. They told everyone. Whether people believed them or not, they still told them. Whether people made fun of them, they still told them. Whether the priests that they were supposed to be working for were unbelievers, they still told them. Because it was such gripping news that they couldn't keep them to themselves. We too have a message to give to a lost and dying world. We too have a message to share with the people in our community, in our families, in our homes. We have a message to share with those who are lost. To tell them of a Savior who was not just born at Bethlehem, but grew up in Nazareth to be the Savior of sinners. This message needs to be retold again and again and again. It may be an old, old story, but it's a story of Jesus and His love. And if you're somebody tonight who's saying, well, I've never really thought about the shepherds like that before, what's the message for you, dear friend? Come to Christ. Trust in Him. Believe that He who was born at Bethlehem is the Savior of sinners. That He loved us enough to go to Calvary's cross to die in our place. And oh, that you too would know that experience for yourself. That Jesus Christ was born so that I could be forgiven. Please don't delay. Come to Him this night. He won't turn you away if you come in humility and you come as you are. Come to Him and believe that He is indeed the Savior of sinners and trust in Him as your Lord and your Savior. Yield your life to Him. And He'll be yours now and forever. And you too will rejoice and be telling everyone else, I found the Savior. Or better still, He found me. He forgave me. He pardoned all my sin. Or as the old hymn writer puts it, He took my sin and my sorrow and made it His very own. He shed no tears for His own griefs, but shed drops of blood for mine. How marvellous, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be, how marvellous, how wonderful, that the Saviour has such love for me. Let us pray. Almighty and glorious God, we thank Thee that the shepherds beheld the Saviour. They beheld the one who was long promised from of old. The Messiah had come, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And indeed, as they beheld Him that night, we do believe that they trusted that He indeed would save them from their sins. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the gospel message. We thank Thee that it's ever new and ever fresh. To all Thy people, we pray, O God, that as the gospel goes out, and near and far, and even later on the recordings, that some would hear and believe that Christ Jesus has come, and He indeed is the Saviour of precious souls. O part us with thy blessing, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.